All right, would you please turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start reading with verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 12. Now, if you've been tracking along with us since the beginning of the year, you know that we've been working through the letter of 1 Peter, and we're coming to the end of it here. Just a few verses left for today. And so this week and next week, we're going to be wrapping up this study. And we're going to be doing things a little bit differently for these couple of weeks, but I pray that it's going to be an encouragement to you. And so we have this last section of this book, and it's a word of encouragement to the brothers and sisters. And so we're going to jump right in today because I want to save some time on the back end for something a little different. All right, so let's read together. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. All right. As I often do with the beginning of a letter, it's tempting to like kind of skim through that and just go, oh, he's saying hi to people. Oh, he's saying goodbye to people. And we'll just, you know, okay, I don't know who those people are. We'll just keep moving, right? And we don't want to do that. There's a lot of depth here. As he works through this final greeting, he's recalling ideas that he's already talked about in the letter. And we could go back and pinpoint each one. We'll look at a couple of them. But I actually just want to share with you briefly about this, and then we're going to put some of it into practice. All right, so as we look at this last few verses, I see several words of encouragement. And the first is just a reminder to stand firm. He tells them to stand fast in the true grace of God. It says, with the help of Silas, I've written to you, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. He's given the purpose of the letter. This is the reason I'm writing to you. I want you to know what the true grace of God is. I want to encourage you. I'm coming alongside of you. I know that you're suffering, and I want you to hold fast onto God's grace, the salvation, the living hope of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. This, he says to be strong and immovable. He says, don't fall, don't get knocked over by the persecutions that you're facing, but stand strong in God's grace. He goes on to remind them of their status in God. He says, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, as does my son Mark. And now, this is interesting as we think about this, because we're wondering, like, okay, who are these people? What are we talking about? And if we look at the language of other New Testament letters, the letters of John, let's say, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we see similar language. And so when it says, she who is in Babylon, we're not necessarily talking about a particular person. We're not talking about a lady over in Babylon somewhere. But it's actually language that signifies a group of believers, the church. The church is sometimes referred to as the lady, right? The bride of Christ, right? So she who is in Babylon is a church, a group of believers. And it's interesting that at this time, the city of Babylon is just in ruins. There is no city of Babylon during Peter's time. And so Babylon came to be used as a metaphor for the nations that oppose God. And so he may be talking about the city of Rome or the empire of Rome. You know, we're not exactly 100% certain, but the idea is that there is a group of people living amongst a nation that opposes God. Now, remember in the Old Testament, Babylon was the place of the exile, right? God exiled his people back to Babylon. And so what he's doing here is he's calling their attention back to things that he's already told them. And if you look back at chapter 1, verse 1, we see this statement, to God's elect, right, they're chosen, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in all abundance. You notice all those same ideas get repeated over here at the end of the letter. He's bringing back to their mind that they are exiles, right? Just as the Jews were exiled in Babylon. But they're not just exiles. They are chosen of God. And he's saying the people chosen of God in this other place, they're greeting you as well. They're wanting to send this encouragement as well. And so he wants us to remember our status, that you are God's chosen people and that you are exiles and strangers in this world. So stand firm. Remember who you are. This world doesn't define you. You don't live according to this world's values. You live by a different standard and a different scorecard. Your measure of success is different than what the world sees. Then he tells them that they can receive God's peace. He says, peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus, those who are trusting in Christ. And why does he offer this word of peace? Well, remember, throughout the whole letter, he's been talking about the distress that they're in, how they're facing persecution and they're suffering for doing what is right. And he says, in the midst of the suffering, you can rest in the hope of glory that is coming in Christ, right? He's calling calling back to those ideas of just trusting in God. And then finally, I see a call to live as God's family. And we think about this. He references several people here. He talks about Silas, who is probably the one who carries the letter. Now, in the original language, this guy's name is Silvanus, and it might be the same as the Silas who goes around with Paul during some missionary journeys. We're not exactly sure who this is, but whoever it is, he's probably carrying the letter to the churches, and he says, I regard him as a faithful brother, and he talks about this family bond that he has with this brother in Christ. We've seen this over and over again in the letter, right? Love each other deeply. Multiple times he talks about the brotherhood of believers and how we are God's people and God's family. And I want to ask you this morning, like, whom do you regard as a faithful brother or sister in Christ? Who are those people that you have chosen to live life with and walk alongside and do life together in such a way that you've got this bond of family as you seek and serve God together? You look at this greeting. He says, "The she who's in Babylon sends you her greetings, as does my son Mark." Now, this is probably Mark, the guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark, right? Peter's actual son, but a co-worker. He's probably younger, and so they had a father-son relationship where there was this depth between the two of them where they cared about each other as father and son. And so I'd ask you the question, like, do I have spiritual sons and daughters? Are there people that I am pouring into and serving and modeling life with God in such a way that they would be my spiritual children? How am I pouring into and helping other people learn to walk with God? He tells them at the very end here, he says, greet one another with a kiss of love, right? There's this command to show affection and joy and kindness to your brother and sister in Christ. Now, obviously, he's writing in a different time, in a different place, in a different culture, right? So he gives them this command to greet one another with a kiss of love, but our culture is a little bit different, right? We don't normally greet each other with kisses, right? It would be a little weird, like, Tracy, you're the official greeter in the back today. When everybody comes in, you give them a kiss. That'd be a little odd, right? We wouldn't... What? Don't give them any ideas? Right, okay. That'd be a little strange. But in their culture, that was normal. That's how you said hello, right? It was a kiss. It was a sign of affection. And so what does that mean for us today? How do we show that kind of sincerity and joy and affection and love for the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ? These last few words of encouragement are these. Stand fast in the grace of God. Remember that you are God's chosen people and exiles in this world. Receive God's peace in the midst of trials and live as the family of God. These are the final ideas that he leaves with them as he closes out this letter. So what we're going to do today, again, is different. But we are going to take some time to live together as the family of God. And I know that when I am trying to spend time with my family, it really means that I've got to put some time and effort and an intentionality into quality time together, where we're able to be together, to see one another as we are, and to love each other. So we want to take some time this morning to be with one another. I appreciate that you all shared all your praises, and we're talking about what God's been doing in our lives, and we need to understand that church is more than just coming here and singing some songs and hearing some guy talk for 30 minutes. It's about connecting with God, and it's about connecting with one another. We see the example of the early church about how they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, right? They were living together, and in order to do that, we've got to be with one another, share life with one another. We've got to know what's going on in one another's lives. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to split up into groups, no more than three or four. And what we're going to do is take some time to talk and to listen to one another this morning. And now we're going to probably take about 20 minutes. And I just want you to share with one another life. I want conversation to revolve around a question. I'm trying to avoid small talk. We're actually trying to do real life together. So the question that I want you to talk about this morning is, what is the biggest thing that is impacting me right now? Maybe it's something great, maybe it's something hard. Whatever it is, what is the biggest thing that is impacting me? Take a few minutes, go around the group, talk to one another, share what's going on. If your normal mode of operation is talking and sharing stories, by all means share. But if your normal mode of operation is like, I'm just going to keep quiet and listen, well, I want you to step up and actually share something today. So those of you who are in the groups, be aware of what your normal tendency is and shift that a little bit so that everyone has a chance to talk. And we're going to talk about what God has been doing, what is the biggest thing that's impacting me right now. And let's actually not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, spend some time together as the family of God. All right, break up into groups. We'll spend some time talking, and we're going to close out in prayer and worship.
Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people that seeks you first, that we would surrender all to you, and that we would go where you're calling us to go. God, I pray that you would help us to stand fast in the true grace of God, to remember that we belong to you, to receive your peace, and to live together as your family. Do your work in us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming out today and praising the Lord with us. We'll see you Wednesday night. Have a great week.